Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Welcome back to the Divorce After Show. Julian shows up again. Robert gets even weirder. I can't wait to jump into it with my panel. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, we're dancing. You know, Julian's never going to get it at this point after this episode, but welcome to the Divorce After Show. I'm your host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram at Oriana Leo. There aren't any others, so just, you know, check it out. And to my left, my lovely panel.
Constance Dunn here. You can check me out on Instagram at Constance Dunn, as well as Twitter, Constance Dunn.
This is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y, or check out my website, fernronay.com.
Go Fern.
Go Fern.
Love how consistent it is all the way. I'm so jealous that someone took my name on Twitter. Like, and it's not even a real account.
Oh, there's no one. Really frustrating.
Yeah, it's rude.
Oh, because they know
I see you, yeah. Oriana Leo, on Twitter. So, overall thoughts, episode 4, mediation. I'm going to go first and just say I loved this episode. There were so many things I loved about it. The pacing, the humor. It was real, and it was dark for a minute, but otherwise my personal feeling was like, I was laughing.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a bonsai episode here. It's been a slow burn for me. You know, I've been a somewhat unabashed about my criticisms or my hesitations about this. The tone dialed in this week. It's the slow burn that's happening. Thomas Hayden Church, this was a lot about him, and he did a great job with the humor. So, a lot of laughs.
I agree. This is definitely the funniest episode they've had so far. It's still a dark topic. It's still hard. But it was the funniest so far.
I think so, too. So we open with Robert. We're going to talk about Robert. We open with him. He's living on the job site. I'm sure that's really typical. He has no plumbing, running plumbing, we see. He has a cartoon on the punching bag. Did you guys see that? Yeah. So we can kind of are seeing how kind of immature he is and how angry he is and probably how lonely he is. Mm-hmm. What did you guys take away from him this episode? Was there something about his character from all of these shenanigans?
Every once in a while, you want to go, oh my gosh, he's adult. Can he be any more of adult? And then he turns around and he changes it. Like, for instance, we see he handles the situation very well towards the end. If you haven't watched it or if you have watched it, he handles
the kids.
Thank you. I can do a spoiler. Mm-hmm. He handles the kids really well. You see Francis trying to grapple and control the outcome, and he comes out and just handles it. And he's really sweet and he's mature and he's a friend. So
what do we think about this?
I think they both have moments, which I think is great, that this is great for the show. It's great writing that they oscillate between being really ridiculous and immature and silly, and then other times really, you know, mature and evolve. It seems like they're adults and they're evolved and they're wonderful. So Frances flipped out on Brian in the very beginning, or Ryan. She didn't even know his name. She was acting like the way we've seen Robert act. And so it's just... It's, I think, great writing that they're never all the same.
Right.
They both have their moments of being immature idiots, and they both have their moments of being, you know, they're poignant that they're adults going through a divorce and they're handling it as best they can.
Right. And isn't that indicative of what happens in life? Do we ever handle everything perfect? Do we ever know when you're going through a divorce, when you're going through something you're not used to going through? Mm-hmm. One minute is like you feel like you're insane. The next minute it's just what we all do.
Exactly.
He's perfect, you know?
I thought it was great that Robert showed up for that moment, right? Like, he did the thing that needed to be done. He'd been avoiding it, of course. So it's kind of funny because we're giving him props, but he's also been the one that has made it this awkward and weird, and the restaurant scene with the ice cream. So for me, I'm kind of annoyed with him that, like, oh, good, you know, in front of the kids, show up and be the great guy. Mm-hmm. But, like, otherwise you're going to be
a total
asshole.
Good point.
So I was a little bit like, eh, it was really nice to see. But then to see her disappointment, of course, when he doesn't show up the next day. You know, she says thank you, and they have like a moment, and it feels like a really real moment.
It does,
and I really do think it's a real moment. It's just that it was a fleeting moment of maturity on Robert's part.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It's a funny thing because you just talked about how he goes back and forth, and you never know really what you're going to expect from him. And I think that's he's just so extreme in the way that, especially when you get into with Julian, that whole scene.
Right.
I mean, that just gets cartoonish.
I really enjoyed. So, you know, we're going through this. We see the mediation. We kind of see, you know, they have to tell their kids. They're treating their kids like they're dumb. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just funny. We've lost our wallet in the restaurant, whatever. but it's fascinating how through all of this, she's getting the phone calls from Jay.
Yeah.
How many of us have done that, though? I was just laughing about the name.
Yes.
Like, changing the name every 5 minutes or compared, like, to how you feel, like, don't answer this, or L or M or B, whatever the thing, so no one will know when they see it. Have you guys done that?
Yeah, I have. And they're always such suspicious names. You know what I mean? You know when you try to be all cool and, like, under the radar and smooth, and it just calls more attention to it because it's so weird.
Well, Jay was not that, like, of a good
like Julia or something, maybe, but
right.
And it's always one of those names, a Jennifer or a Julia.
Right.
It's always like a weird name if you're trying to like be covert.
What about you, Fern?
I have not actually, but I'm writing my second novel right now, and it's a protagonist who happens to be cheating on her husband, and she changes the name from Todd to Tara.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Changing it to a girl
is such a fake
name. I was like, oh, that's so
that's brilliant. I can't wait to hear about your first novel.
We're going
to have to talk about that a little later. So we see also that Robert is falling apart because his business is falling apart. It never really was, right? He went too big too soon, and the market isn't there. So he's starting to realize that he doesn't have anything to share, and he's feeling really bad about it.
Right, right. And that kind of touches on these ideas of traditional family structures, and we get into it kind of throughout. It's a little minor thread put through the whole episode about a man's place, head of the household, whatnot. And we also, one thing that was funny is with Francis trying to get him to do the conversation, like, in the restaurant, and throughout the whole, if you can recognize this as a wife or a girlfriend where you're just like trying to, again, control outcomes. This is how we're going to do it. Now make sure you follow my lead. It's like you're the girl, and it's like you're grasping. You're trying to control the outcome, and he's just like not going to play with you. It's like he's not going to do it your way. He's going to do it his way. And it was funny. I recognize that, let's just say.
And it makes some, like, you know, he's been acting crazy throughout. And when you have money troubles, whether you're going through a divorce or not, it's going to add an enormous amount of stress to anybody's life, and then you can just see the stress making him crazier and crazier, returning the equipment, but like being like, let's get ice cream sundaes at home, right? And she's trying to control the situation, but he's so now has, you know, the stress is just amplified, and the craziness is just as a result amplified.
I just want to shout out to Ornella on Twitter. Hi, she's joining us. She actually doesn't watch Divorce, but she's going to now because of us.
Oh, great.
Hey!
It's a very different show.
So
hi, Ornella.
We see that he's losing it over money. What I found particularly interesting and disturbing was his desire to double down. This idea that he's going to make a fun zone or whatever. But, like, he has no money. And even the CPA says, you know, you're actually negative, right? You have nothing. You have less than nothing. And here he is. He wants to go spend more. What do you guys think? I really feel like at that moment, he believes that he can be successful. He's not doing it. My fear was he was doing it to, like, bankrupt her, which may end up happening. But, I mean, I felt like he had really genuine feelings about, like, I'm going to do something really big. I'm going to save it. I'm going to rescue it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just doing something really bold and extreme. And sometimes people do that when, you know, if you've ever been in a thing where you're approaching debt and you're in, you know, not very good straits, sometimes people, and especially a guy, he's having a divorce, no money, he's just like, screw it. What else am I going to do? It's a moment of desperation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What am I going to do?
Right.
Go big.
Mm-hmm. The problem, of course, though, is that when you're doubling down on bad things and bad behaviors that have gotten you this point, I think it's really common, especially for guys, that when they're digging a hole, they don't know they're digging a hole. They get called out on, hey, you're digging a hole. You're in a hole. Get out. They're like, damn it. And they keep digging. And Now you're like, all right, well, now I have to leave you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a gender thing. Men have, generally speaking, tend to be bigger risk takers.
I don't know if that's it, though. Hmm. I feel like a lot of it is, I'm not wrong. I'm doubling down. I'm right. I'm doubling down. Like, I'm not retreating. I'm going forward. I'm right.
Okay, so maybe...
When I say digging a hole, I mean, like, doing something that's not helping the situation, realizing it's not helping the situation, and then choosing to do more of it.
Do you think it's also done out of a feeling of no control?
Of course.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Desperation, I think, is the key word.
Yeah. And but it's just bizarre.
It is bizarre. And that's the thing. I kind of wish we had a guy sitting here because I needed to pick his brain, you know?
I also feel like when you're going through such a hard time, sometimes you think you're being inspired when you're really just desperate.
Right.
So he sees this empty warehouse and he's like, this is my answer. When he's really, trust your instincts. Your gut is telling you, as he realizes later on, your gut is telling you not to do this.
I think that's
so
a really
for something.
Good point. That, like, when you're desperate, anything can feel like inspiration. Like, Julian was Francis's inspiration on some level, right? Because she was desperate to get out of this situation. And so that's really interesting. I love the scene in the workout equipment store.
That was classic. Amazing. That was classic. Who's ever been there? I mean, not done that, but where you're just like, okay, cool. You know, you return something or whatever, and you're expecting a cash refund, and they're like, your credit will be, you know, come through in 2 weeks minus.
So you're like, the opposite of what I want with the cash in my hand.
I would never shop here anyways. Right. Like, give me the money.
Yeah, right. What am I going to buy? Like, a bunch of socks? Tube socks? Have you ever had a store credit for a place that you have? I still have, like, a gift card sitting in my wallet, probably a couple of places that I just never go to. Mm-hmm. Please take this.
Mm-hmm. I would have done what he did. Okay, I'll eat something. Like, I'll take all the power bars. I thought that that scene was so comedic, like, such comedic genius the way it was written, that behind him was the, you know, he's returning equipment that he's carved a cartoon in. Like, it was so ridiculous.
And he's the fact that he's fighting and about it, and the guy's like, it's used.
Right.
Like, it's so obvious.
Right.
And the guy's a cool customer. I just thought the actor did a good job. And he also is a good example, if you've ever had to be in management, I haven't, where people have to just be, you have that temperament or you don't, where people can just be spitting, you know, saying the worst things to you, and you're just cool. So he was just like that.
Yeah, right. He's perfect.
Amazing. And when you're in customer service, you have to be like, and, you know, how can I help you? What can I do? And what would you like me to do about that? Like, you can have all the power bars you want.
Right.
Which apparently he took home, which was so cute. So we have Frances at Julian's. So let's talk about just her getting those phone calls.
Yes.
How did we feel about it?
We knew, right? Didn't you get a sense of what Julian is? We didn't really think he was coming back to her.
I kind of did, but I was like, don't complicate things anymore. Just stay away from him. I kind
of
did.
I kind of thought that he was...
I kind of thought that,
like, maybe he would be like, oh, I realize I miss you, but only because she hasn't been talking to him, and then they'd get back together, and he'd be not into it anymore.
Yeah, the power thing. Okay.
Because he really just wanted her husband to stop contacting him, he could have just said that.
That seemed weird. You're right. Once they got into it and with the tea and all that
stuff. Well, so then that's where this whole passive-aggressive behavior comes in, which is really upsetting. Like, he could have easily just texted, and he didn't. He gets her to his place. Do we think he might have had an ulterior motive as well if she hadn't been the one that went first?
Oh, yeah. Now that I see that, because we learned a little, we got hints that he is not just, she's not the only side piece, married side piece. So I think he just, if you're going to give it to him, he'll take it. Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't care.
No.
It's what he's about.
It is what he's about.
Yeah.
Him
and
his granola.
And that's been her pattern in the past that, you know, why wouldn't she now?
Right. I was impressed. I mean, it was funny. I would have been like, what did you bring me here for first before having to give a big spiel?
Right.
Because you run the risk of humiliating yourself, which kind of happened. but I was like kind of proud of her for going in there and being like, listen, no. She's still getting a divorce. She still knows this isn't right. Like, at least she has some
sense.
That's true.
You know? She's not going to do anything crazy.
Yeah. Because she could have just wanted to get laid and gone with it.
Right. And it's a funny scene. Do you remember towards right at the end when he says, okay, you know, the reason I'm contacting you is because I want your husband to stop bothering me. And she's like, that's it. And she's like, screw you. Or, you know, the equivalent. She's like, and it's a funny thing because sometimes you're thinking, oh, I'm just in it for this. It's mm-hmm. just about this. It's yes. not anything else. There's no attachment. And they're like, okay, no attachment. And you're like, screw you. Uh-huh. Like, what do you want? It's a very not uncommon human mm-hmm. dilemma there.
Absolutely. And then we see Robert visit Nick in the hospital. Or actually at his house. Sorry, it's mm-hmm. his house. He has a at-home, in-home caregiver mm-hmm. that's helping. We see Diane, yeah. right? What did you guys think about this scene? What did you take away from your friend?
No, I would have so been Diane. I would have listened to the whole thing, him talking to his idiot friend, uh-huh. and I would have been like, that's never going to work, mm-hmm. and get out of here. Mm-hmm. I would have done exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think she's growing on me mm-hmm. in this role. Mm-hmm. She's definitely funnier, but not Saturday Night Live funny. I love her in this now.
What do you think?
Yeah, she's toning it down, which is good, so she can go other places in the role besides the cartoon cutout, mm-hmm. which we've kind of...
She's not drunk, mm-hmm. right? Because we met her wasted.
That's true.
So she's sober. So this is, to me, this is Diane sober. She's quite sensible.
Yeah, she's sensible. And at the end, when she and Robert were talking, and he's basically insinuating that he would, like, sue her, and she's just very funny. She just doesn't get rattled by it. And she's like, yeah. And it is funny. It's very much the wife thing. Like, she's listening in, and he's talking about taking his money and investing it in a fun zone for kids, which he has no category experience.
No.
And she's like, no way you're getting in on our money, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, awesome. Not to mention, I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed that Nick was literally, like, pulling away from Robert. And I was like, oh, this is so sad. Obviously, this is, maybe Robert's been like this the whole time, at least for the last few years, maybe. I mean, Diane knows the drill, right? Like, she's not, you know, she knows the drill, right, with him. But to see Nick be like, I can't even go to the bathroom by myself, and you're coming in here and asking for my money, and I'm telling you I don't want to give it to you, I'm not ready, and I just want to, like, poop by myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's yeah. pretty disturbing if I was in that condition, and I had a friend come to me like that, mm-hmm. I would be like, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, we'd be done. Yeah. And it's on an off-related topic. It's an interesting point it brings up about how people sometimes with a lot of means are very careful, and sometimes they're just friends with people mm-hmm. who have means themselves, because, like, it's less likely that someone's going to come put the bite on you.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just, it's one of those things that's kind of like being friends with a beautiful woman, right?
Yeah.
At one time, she's like, I know he's just being friends with me. At one point, the bite is going to happen.
Right.
So
right.
you don't really care about me. So
I've never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right.
I mean, don't you always assess men in that regard?
100%.
Yeah.
It's no, 100%. It's like a sliding scale. It's like, how much are they going to try to make this right. happen? Like, and if they're going, like, just get out of the way in the beginning, it's like, never going to happen. And then if they enjoy the challenge,
right.
then it's like, then just be kind of a bee to them because they love it.
Yes, and we are in the city of Los Angeles and Hollywood and in the entertainment business, so this is not an uncommon phenomenon for all of us, I'm sure, has experienced it only a couple hundred times.
Absolutely. I really, really love Diane in this scene of just, she knows her husband, she loves her husband. Like, yeah, they were having problems, but kind of the way she was holding herself was like, give me a break. This is my life, too. Like, you're going to go around me? Mm-hmm. And his whole thing about the gunshots, like, I just love that she, like you said, wasn't rattled. And I feel like Fern, you said, she's kind of humanized right now. Mm-hmm. Before she was cartoony, you know, and to see her be in this other place, I'm wondering if it'll stick, mm-hmm. right? Like, are they good now, we'll see. I like that Nick was talking about, I do deal in currency derivatives. This man knows a lot about how to make money, and he is going to know that anything Robert brings him is a bad idea.
Right, and it's very funny when he goes, and then he says again, he goes, I'm just not in an investing space right now. That was very, very funny.
And she comes in and goes, liability insurance and pedophile magnet, which is completely true, and that's how a business person would think, right? But I love when he goes, I can't even hear because of the, you know, tonight. He can't even say, he doesn't know tinnitus, right? And so she has to correct him. I mean, it's brilliant writing.
I love how he turned it around on her. Oh, you and Francis, it's so sad. And he got defensive. Like, that's mm-hmm. not it. I'm
right?
not desperate because I'm getting divorced. I'm desperate because it's your fault that right? you almost tried to shoot me.
We should see if we can get any writers to guest on this show
before it's over
because the writing is so good.
And again, it's so different. This show mm-hmm. is different.
It is
a very different tone than any type of show that is out there.
Right.
So kind of getting it, and sometimes some weeks so far it's been better than others, but I think they did a great job of getting that duality dialed in this week.
I'm really impressed because we're at episode 4. There's what, 10 in the season?
Or
8?
I don't know.
Oh gosh, sorry. I did look it up.
I did too.
I looked on IMDb, but I honestly can't remember. It's 8 or 10.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully we can get some really good people in here for the latter half. Cross fingers. Let's talk about the kids. And just all of these attempts to tell them. Do you guys have experience with this? Like, are your parents still together?
Yeah, so I don't, but...
My parents are still
okay,
together.
So yeah. Just me, the fuck up on the panel. Listen, it's generational. So people that have parents that are together are likely to stay together with theirs because they had a model, right? So it's no surprise when I was getting divorced, I had this, like, deer in the headlights experience of, like, oh, my God, I'm my parents.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God, I'm my parents. Yes. And it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I just did everything they did, not even knowing it. That's what happens because that's kind of how you're programmed. So
how old were you when they...
So they got divorced when I was probably 4 or 5.
Little.
Okay. Really little.
Okay.
And
wow.
I don't remember that much. It was already a chaotic time in my family's life. But I remember very specifically my mother telling me, we still love each other. We can't live together. We can't be together, but we love you so very much, and this isn't your fault. But I, of course, knew that everything was wrong.
Oh,
right?
You did?
Because my dad was sleeping in my room on the bunk bed. And it was like, yay, we're having a slumber party, but why aren't you in bed with mommy? So, like, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, it doesn't matter how old the child is, if they're little, if they're older. Like, kids know everything because they pick up, we talk right in front of them as if they don't exist. Mm-hmm. So they hear so much and they infer so much from the way that we feel, in tone, everything. So I just thought it was hilarious that they were like, get over yourself. Yeah, we knew.
And think of it, too. You're talking about 4 or 5, which is really young. Mm-hmm. There is, like, a biological component. You share the same home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You came from your parents very literally. So, naturally, there's going to be almost like a psychic. I don't know what the actual...
I think that's a great point.
You're always going to sense it. You slept in their bed. They took care of you. They fed you.
You were in the womb.
Exactly.
Like, that doesn't go away.
Right. You're going to sense that.
It shouldn't.
Right. Right. You're always going to sense that.
Interesting.
Even if they can't articulate it, like you were 4 or 5,
yep.
You sensed the energy was off, even if you weren't like, I have a feeling my parents are having
problems. Right,
you
right,
didn't say that because you didn't have the words.
It just like doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, and so it's funny, I think for a lot of kids that can't articulate it, it might, they take it on themselves of like, oh God, maybe I did something wrong. So to me, I was watching this like them not, like Frances, as much as I want to love her, I kind of was really annoyed with her that she kept pushing that they were going to have this discussion, and yet she didn't take the initiative. I know she wanted Robert to be a part of it, but this is the guy that's, like, pooping in a coffee can.
Right.
Like, why don't you just tell the kid, take some responsibility, take action, which she has not done.
That's a good point.
Because think about, she's being locked out of the house, this whole thing of, like, faking it and denial and, like, that. I love that they're incorporating that into the show because that's such human nature. Right, you don't want to tell anybody. You don't want to tell your parents. You don't want to tell your friends. That's the worst part. You're like getting ready to make this huge life decision because everything's terrible. Now you have to go tell everyone. And now you have now you have to get the opinions of everyone telling you that you're wrong at that, you know what I mean?
And you're like,
back to counseling, and you're like, I've made the decision, and then you get everyone's opinion around you. So there, I understand her perspective of like not wanting to tell anyone at work and then totally breaking down and then not wanting to tell the kids but like not having the guts to tell them. Yeah, it's just, it's an interesting perspective, but I was mad at her for that. Of like, if you want them to know, tell them.
Well, you bring up a good point about how the hard part is about telling other people, and I've always just thought, because communication is my area that I work in, is that I always thought, just as a friend, whenever anyone's come to me or I've had to go to them, a great thing to do as a friend is not feel it out, and of course it can depend, but don't fight them on it. Try to make it as easy as possible. If you're sitting there and we're really close and you're telling me you're getting divorced, I'm like, good for you. What can I do?
Right.
You know, and then zippy. No talking, no pressure or anything. Right. It's something really nice you could do.
That's
and not
good
try to
advice.
Talk them into feelings that don't exist. Well, like, I hate when they're like, oh, he's such a nice guy. You marry him, then. He's such a nice guy. Oh, sure, I should marry every damn nice guy I've ever met. Like, don't do that to your sisters, mother, friends, etc., daughters,
advice.
Granddaughters.
You're taking the words out of my mouth. Yes. Absolutely, because people only know what they see, mm-hmm. and people only know what you share. And of course, you're not sharing your dirty laundry every day. Like, oh, this thing happened, and I'm upset, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. Because what if someone tells you that is wrong? You're probably not ready to hear that. So I know that was for me personally, but I was surprised at how the reaction of a lot of people I really loved and cared about, that how negative it was.
Wow.
And so that gave me this whole new perspective of like, oh my God, women are trying to leave bad, serious, like bad relationships yeah. that are unsafe. And everyone around them is like, but he's perfect. Like, oh, you should try. Gosh. And then guess what, people? PSA, that's how women get killed. Right. Honestly, because if you try to leave and everyone around you tells you that it's your fault and you're wrong,
right.
well, you might believe them and you might stay mm-hmm. and then everything gets worse without people saying, well, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? Right. Why is this happening? Right. Like, how... You know, it talked to me.
Right. And you don't have to make the case. Like, the worst thing is to have to feel like you have to make the case to other people. This is why I'm leaving. You know what? In a way, you don't have to make the case.
Right? Yeah. Actually, that I really had that experience where I was like, I don't really care if you agree or not. I actually don't need to give you the details because it's none of your business. Good. This is what I'm
exactly.
doing. But it was hard to have those conversations with people that I'm like, you should have my back right now. Like, you should be, please be supportive right now. So I can understand the hesitancy from both of them. Of like, not, you know, well, Robert is telling everyone that will listen, but from her perspective, you know. But the kids know. Kids mm-hmm. always know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And this is no exception. It ends well in that way.
It was funny how he said, like, how the boy was like, are you freaking kidding me? I think I forget what his exact words were, but yeah, it was so obvious. But then he said she wasn't sure, so I told
him. Aww, little Lila. And he's like, can we go now? Right. This is just awkward.
Right? Because they're like, yeah, whatever, we know. You guys are losers. Mm-hmm. Ornella, who's watching with us live, she was Aww. 9. She says, I was 9 when my dad died, and my mom was a single mom at 36. And we do know more than what adults think kids know. Mm. Sorry for your loss. I also lost my father when I was 21. But you're absolutely right, Ornella, that when things happen, death, divorce, anything really, that's like a big life event, a lot of the times kids are not told. She says, honesty is always the best policy. Telling kids is the best choice. I couldn't agree more. My father was totally traumatized because his father died when he was 12 and nobody told him what happened. They wow. all like were in such a, you know, a fit about what happened that they were like, sit in your mom's room and close the door. And they left him there for like 12 hours. And he still,
wow.
and it just ruined him. But because no one told him what was going on and he had to figure it out on his own as a child. Like, so this is really common because adults don't want to tell kids anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not doing them any favors,
no,
right? Like, the kids know something's wrong, they intuit it, and then when you tell them, no, it's not, everything's fine, then you're telling them, don't listen to your intuition.
Exactly.
And that's how people like me get in trouble, because we were taught not to listen to our intuition.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Right, right.
So I come from a very interesting
true.
Perspective,
right.
but...
No, it makes perfect sense, because you feel something bad is happening, and the adults are telling you it's
no,
fine.
It's
so
fine.
This feeling should be ignored.
Yes, it's fine. It's fine. Oh, it doesn't hurt. No, you didn't mm-hmm. see that. Oh, and it's like the adults think they're doing a good job, mm-hmm. but in fact, they're like really... really screwing up
yeah,
the kids.
Yeah,
because the kids are like, but I saw something or I feel something and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, adults are almost, you hopefully doing the best they can.
Yeah.
Like this couple. Like, they're doing the
right,
best they can.
Right.
This is not like an abusive situation.
Right.
But still.
It's a good point you bring about intuition, because then you have to relearn that. You know,
yeah.
if you abandon your intuition, like, uh-oh, that's going to hurt. Bumpy ride. But then you go back to it, so... just takes
mm-hmm.
a while. It'd be good if there wasn't that break,
right?
Absolutely. Okay, so let's see. What else have we not covered?
Can we talk about Julian?
Yes.
I thought that this was so fascinating. What did she ever see in Julian? Can we talk about that?
He liked her.
Probably. Probably. She'd probably been married for so long.
She
had
said,
kids,
remember, okay,
they never kissed.
The mustache.
He's got the mustache, right. That she
the mustache that's
like,
always musty.
Oh my God.
And moist.
Gross.
Yes.
Gross. Okay, because beards and mustaches are in fashion right now.
Are they?
Do any of you guys, are you dating or?
I.
Any mustache?
No, a beard.
Beard situation?
That I have a beard situation that I really like, and I would never like them. Like, it's definitely the person.
That's exactly
definitely
what I was
person.
Gonna say. It's not the mustache. If she was still in love with her
yes.
husband, she would not even mention it. She wouldn't even care.
Yeah.
It's that a symptom of the fact that they're no longer in love.
Right.
That's why it bothers
And
her.
Also the symptom of like he didn't care that she didn't like it.
Right.
He didn't
Aww.
Care that it bothered her. Clearly.
Right, yeah.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. if they haven't used tongues since he grew the mustache.
Oh God.
Like
yeah.
You know, so it's really interesting because like everyone's responsible mm-hmm. on some level. We get what we tolerate. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? Is there anything else behind it, though? The professor, maybe?
Yes, there's the halo of he seems sophisticated. Mm-hmm. So whereas we have Robert, who's just not Mr. Sophisticated, he's Mr. Beers and Beer mm-hmm. and Wings and whatnot. We have Julian, who gives the facade of being sophisticated, and he has these sophisticated tastes with the kombucha, and he's got the art. So they probably had some great conversations. Mm-hmm. But it is very funny to look at him, and she's not interested in him anymore. And I could kind of see from the exterior. I know I've been in situations where I was crazy about somebody because I believed something about them. I had this whole,
of course,
I had story. Written a whole story in my mind right. about them. And then, like a year later, you know, you dated them, whatever. And then you see him and you're like, oh my gosh, I will, you know, you can use blackmail material. I'm going to tell you, I hooked up with him and you can blackmail me about that at some point. And you look at him and you're like, was I high? Was I on a psychedelic trip? Like, what the hell? Have you even had friends where that were like, when you introduced him?
Absolutely. Okay, so shout out to Ornella. We're having a great conversation. She actually, yes, Ornella, I think your dad is making this happen. It's her late father's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday.
And she says, I love my husband's goatee. Question, Ornella, did you love goatees before your husband, or is it him? Like, did you have a thing for the hair? Because our argument is that it's person related, right?
My husband has a little goatee, but yeah. I never minded, you know, like it was always the guy. Like there were some like physical deal breakers.
Sure.
But that wasn't one of them. Uh-huh. But it's always like you fall in love with a person no matter what they look like, and you just fall in love with whatever the shell that the soul happens
right.
to be in.
Well, some, ultimately. But to be fair, some people do date the same looking person like over and over.
Guilty.
Like,
yeah. I mean, chemistry cannot be denied. And if you're physically attracted to a certain, you know, that's chemical. You can't
yeah.
help it. You're attracted to that certain kind of person.
Yeah.
So that can't be denied. But there, you know, there could be 10 of those people that look like this that fit your description. And you only fall in love with one of them because
right.
you really only have real chemistry with
right,
that one.
Right.
That's true. And that's what's so great about chemistry, because you can go against type.
I've never had a type.
But then
I haven't either, really.
I have found somebody before that I've just been really drawn to mm-hmm. that's completely against type, and mm-hmm. that is awesome,
yeah.
too. But I'm just curious, do you guys think my eye is getting used to the beard look?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's everywhere in popular culture now, mm-hmm. and some of those look darn good. So I used to be a no beard, like no way Jose type of person, and now I'm like seeing it, I'm like, that looks really good on some guys.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think a mustache is like my father is a mustache.
Yes.
My father-in-law is a mustache. Like, that's like old, like no one our age.
Man.
Has right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
when
they say it too.
mustache. But
it's cute.
I feel like, yeah, like the goatee or whatever guys do
yeah.
is
beard.
More, you know, our generation.
Ornella says it's him. It's her hubby.
Aww.
That's what we thought. I think it's really person related. I do think what's hot about beards is that it's like, man. Like, it's just so man. Kissing a beard, like, you're going to kiss it, and it's either going to be great or not great. I personally have only had 2 beard experiences, like, real man beards.
Uh-huh.
They were awesome.
Because I don't think I have, or I just can't remember them. I'm blocked out because I'm married.
You're married.
So
I'm
like, yeah, for a
last.
So I'm just thinking in the past or something. I don't think I've ever had a situation. But was it soft? What makes it good or bad? Just because married
honestly,
gals want to know.
No, I honestly think it really is the person. But I think the type of person that can grow a full face of hair has a certain amount of chemicals and hormones that is really attractive.
Oh, so it denotes something.
Because, like, okay, so we're a little off topic, but
wow.
let's just say so there's a thing about some women love bald men. A lot of
My husband is bald.
So a lot of bald men have facial hair. Well, that's associated with high testosterone.
It's so funny that you say that, because I'm always smelling him. Like, I'm always smelling his
yes,
face and
yes.
his ears.
And
his
it doesn't
neck.
Smell
it smells,
bad like Robert's.
I always tell him, like, you just smell so good to me. And I think it's just
that's
our
pheromones.
Chemical, like
absolutely.
My chemicals, like his chemicals.
Well, we select on this. And this is just evolutionary
yes.
sociology, which is an area of research. Mm-hmm. I do a little research informally. I teach at the University of California, Santa Barbara. So I love research.
Plug.
And evolutionary sociology is an area that I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we do mate selection. Women do, you know this.
Yes.
On scent, because basically you love his scent, it indicates that you are a good reproductive, reproductive match.
Yeah.
And that's why it's funny, if you've ever gone out with a guy, and I have, who was not unhygienic, I couldn't stand his smell.
Mm-hmm.
Could not stand it. Yep. It was just like Gagarelli.
Oh,
it wasn't
so
a hygiene
Gagarelli.
Thing. It was didn't work out for many reasons, but that's a good match
that
you have.
So hashtag Gagarelli.
For the couple who doesn't want kids.
I love that.
That's great that you still love his smell.
Love
you
it.
You have to, but I couldn't agree more. Like, I have a very sensitive sense of smell. Part of my migraine issue is, like, I can smell everything and everyone, and it's very clear when something's offensive to me or when something's okay, and I can just, I mean, anybody. It's amazing.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really interesting. Well, now we know. Okay, so.
I hope we smell good to you.
Oh, you guys smell great. Yeah. Don't worry.
So be careful.
So we get to this ending scene with the realtor. Right? He's sitting with the realtor or the broker for that fun zone. And I love this scene because it's so common. You start out one way, okay, and then you get other people's input. And it tends to change things, whether it's your family, your friends, an attorney, no matter what it is. You're like, oh, this is how I'm going to handle everything. And then you get outside perspective, whether it's qualified or not, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden, oh.
Mm-hmm. That was a great scene because there are situations where people, you're adrift. You're handling something major you've never handled. You don't know where the furniture is in the room.
Right.
And so if someone's like, you should go colonize the moon, you're like, sounds like a good idea. I'm going to colonize the moon. And this is one of those scenes.
Absolutely.
I also think there's so much information out there. And then mm-hmm. we have our preconceived notions about, like mm-hmm. what you were saying about the man's role. So he obviously didn't do his research, obviously was making these assumptions. Even if he did his research, there's so much information out there, he doesn't know what to believe, so he was just assuming that he's going to lose all his money.
Okay, but let's also just go, like, if he thought it was because of he was a man.
Right.
Like, not
and
because
Robert
he made...
did not do research. That's the other thing.
No, but, right? Like, I mean, he knows that she's making all the money. And he's still, like, that's...
He just right. thought that he would have to take the
he's
hit.
He's adult.
Yeah.
He just,
but
I mean.
The light bulb went all, like, the switch was so, it was a really good scene.
It was a really good scene. Mm-hmm. And it's disturbing and funny, right? Because you can imagine how many times this really does happen, mm-hmm. where you're like, we're doing this for the kids, right? He's all about the kids, mm-hmm. and we're doing this. And then now he wants to have a contentious divorce with attorneys, which, of course, is the worst thing for the children. So, like, I'm very mad with him yeah. right now, because as much as he, you know, he's just caught up in his own ego and his pain, right? Mm-hmm. Not taking responsibility for the emotional affair he had. Not taking responsibility for dragging his family out and losing a bunch of money from the city. Like,
yeah, that's
kind
great.
Of ruining his wife's life.
And on a practical level, some of his problems are being solved right now. They're being lifted in that bar because he's worried about money. And now he's like, wait a second.
Oh, I don't even have... Yep.
I could be sitting in my apartment eating burritos and mm-hmm. just chilling out.
And driving a new Audi, like the
yeah.
story you just heard.
And this happens. Mm-hmm. This is why it's so true and funny, is that it's just like... There are people that are like, screw you, you hurt me, especially infidelity.
Yeah.
Right? You hurt me, I'm going to destroy you just to make myself feel better. Which, of course, doesn't work. Hello, people. Mm. Ever.
Yeah. And bad karma.
Really bad karma. So we see for the next episode, you guys saw the preview.
Really quickly. It looked like they were just both meeting with their lawyers.
Okay. All right. So do we have any news and gossip?
I listened to Sarah Jessica on The Nerdist.
Yes.
So good.
Really?
It was really good. I mean, she's always good in every interview, but this is another good one. It was as good as Marc Maron's
interview. Any highlights?
Just, she was just talking about her life and then, you know, how this came about and how she just loves analyzing relationships. And mm-hmm. she brings up the issue of money a lot. She brought it up in Marc Maron's, too, about how it makes it, you know, if you have money to burn, could possibly make a divorce easier, but
sure.
most people don't have that. And
right.
that's where, like, we were just talking about,
right.
it complicates things. So
the money
further.
Complicates everything.
Really
money
does.
And assets. I cannot even imagine like having kids and assets and all this stuff that has to be divided. Absolute nightmare.
There's a great quote that says something about the idea of war and relationships. Easy to get into, hard to get out.
Oh,
okay, so I
good.
Couldn't agree more. And my whole thing is they make it so easy to get married and so hard to get divorced that I want, if I ever do it again, would go the reverse, where I would have everything negotiated out ahead of time that, like, if we got a divorce, this is what... Because once you have a plan, you don't really disagree because you have put everything out there of like, okay, well, if this happened, how would we handle it? Or what do you want done with your ashes or whatever? And you get everything done, life, death, health, everything on paper. then you can decide if you really want to get married.
Yeah. I think that's a really great idea, and it always is funny because things can change from that, but it does flesh out someone's values. Like, if I was, like, a rich dude or a rich chick, and my mate didn't have as many assets, and I'm putting forth a prenup, and they're like, whoa, I would get maybe some clues into their motivations.
Well,
or
sure.
Clues about that.
Well, I think prenups get a bad name because it sounds like, oh, I don't want you to take my money. But if you actually just have prenuptial negotiations of how are we going to handle everything, which is what religious marriage counseling is, that most people don't do anymore. When you go off, like, I'm Catholic, you go off and you have to go every weekend for like 12 weeks where they to see, are you really, do you really want to get married?
Did you do that?
I did not. I wish I had.
Because some of the things you were saying, like what to do with my ashes. Yep. So that brings up like a whole value issue of, you know, like how you feel about life and death and what you think happens. And
those are things that a lot of us don't.
Talk about.
We talk about it, but it's not done in a serious way. And that's where I think the kind of prenup idea is kind of cool. Of like, let's just sit down and hash it all out and see where we lie. If, you know, I think people are afraid to expose because they don't want to lose the person. But if you don't expose everything, you're probably going to lose them eventually anyway.
And they should know everything about how you feel about those things anyway.
Right.
Just and the reason we don't do it is because we don't want it to happen. It's the reason why we drag our feet on making a will, but we'll make sure our ass is on the couch at 9 p.m. on Tuesday to see our favorite show. The will, that can wait. I don't want a D.I.E.
Absolutely. It's facing the DIE, it's facing death, it's facing divorce, it's facing like, oh my gosh, life might not always be perfect. Guess what? It's never perfect.
Right.
So if you can plan for when times are hard, like I feel like it, that's my idea at least. Of just
it's
like,
a great idea.
You know, shit will hit the fan eventually. How are we going to handle it?
Right.
Get that all out in the open, but that also requires maturity.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to wrap up this show, but I do have some very exciting news. We have Talia Balsam's going to be on our November 14th show. That is episode 6. Yay! Woohoo! She's going to be calling in because she's located in New York. If you guys want to tweet her and ask her any questions, tweet us. Make sure you tag us or at least hashtag HBO divorce something so that we might be able to find it. But please reach out to her. We will see you guys next week. Until then, I'm your host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo. And that's it. I can't wait to see you next time.
Yeah, Constance Dunn. Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at Constance Dunn and Twitter, Constance Dunn. See you soon.
Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay. My website's fernronay.com. And my first novel, Better in the Morning, which I describe as Sex and the City meets Ghost, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, paperback, however you like it.
Awesome.
Bye.
Amazing. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.